We are looking at today in this session what is going on in our brains or our children's brains and bodies when they've experienced trauma. So this session there is loads of like brain and sciencey stuff, but we're going to kind of simplify it and keep it simple in order to understand it for what we need to kind of understand it for. So we're going to kind of break it down into three main parts, which the slides we have on the website, so you can follow along with what we're talking about today by looking at the slides. And essentially the three components that we're looking at make up what we call the triune brain, so the three kind of main parts. The brainstem is kind of also known as the reptilian brain, is the most kind of basic primitive part of our brain. And that kind of is what connects the brain with the spinal cord, and its job basically is to monitor and regulate all our kind of basic bodily functions, so things like breathing and swallowing and heart rate and blood pressure, all the things that we just kind of do without kind of thinking about. It's all automatic, we don't have any conscious control over it. And then the next part is the limbic brain, so part of the limbic system, which is also known as the emotional brain. And this is where all the emotions and all the kind of memories and everything else is kind of happening. And its kind of function is to understand relationships and understand other people and connections and behaviour. It's also linked to kind of maturity, self-control, that kind of thing. And this develops later. So we're born with the reptilian brain, but this bit develops at about 9 months of age. And this bit of the brain has two, there are many parts to it, but it's got two main parts to it that relate to kind of like what we might want to understand when we're looking at trauma. One part is the amygdala. And the amygdala is really strongly linked to the human emotions that I was just talking about. And it essentially acts as an alarm bell. So it's kind of scanning and detecting for danger or any threats. It's a survival kind of mechanism, essentially. And if it does detect a threat or some danger, it will instruct our body and our brain how to respond, so what survival response we need to activate in order to survive. So that's its kind of main function, is to detect danger and keep us alive, essentially. The other part in this bit of the brain is called the hippocampus, and it works really closely with the amygdala. And the hippocampus's function is basically about organising and storing things. So it's almost like people refer to it as like the filing system of our brain, which is really helpful for like ordering stuff that happens in our lives. But the problem is that it can't manage stress. So when we have a stressful event, that kind of the hippocampus doesn't function as it normally should. And we'll talk a bit about that a bit more in relation to kind of memories connected to trauma and why trauma memories are different to regular memories. So this is kind of where all of the kind of survival responses that are linked to emotions are kind of triggered. And then the higher level bit functioning part of our brain is called the prefrontal cortex. And this is the like most sophisticated part of the brain. So it's the most modern part of the brain. And this bit doesn't fully develop until humans are about 25 years old. So often kind of explains or accounts for some of the behaviours that you might see in adolescents or teenagers or young children, or even young adults. But there can be sometimes be similar as well to those things that we see when somebody's experienced trauma as well. So this part of the brain is really for, it's our thinking center, it's our kind of computer of our brain. And it's about conscious thought, awareness, reasoning, rationality, planning, decision making, all of the stuff that like distinguishes us from other living animals, you know. It also stops us from doing impulsive things and it keeps us safer again, which is why you see sometimes it's not functioning fully in young adults or teenagers because it actually hasn't developed yet. And if we have low levels of stress, this can actually increase these functions. So like if you think about going into an exam or something, sometimes if you've just got a kind of manageable amount of stress, it might help you kind of concentrate and focus and stuff. But it doesn't want to be kind of overloaded. Otherwise, then it starts to reduce in its kind of functioning. And a really, really important thing to know when we're talking about trauma is that actually when our survival mechanism kicks in and produces a fight, flight, freeze response, again, we'll talk about survival responses a bit more afterwards, because survival is our overriding priority, this prefrontal higher kind of part of the brain isn't needed anymore. And so it actually disconnects and stops functioning and goes offline so that we are solely being driven by our survival mechanisms. And that is really important to know because that can happen outside of traumatic situations as well if we're feeling overloaded, and you may well see it after kind of traumatic events in other areas. But what it means essentially is that we don't get to choose how we respond in a dangerous situation. That's done for us, it's taken over. We're not thinking, we're not reasoning, we're not planning. Our body determines what response do I need to survive and keep me alive. And what it doesn't do is think about how we might feel about that afterwards. And I think that's really hard. And that's where a lot of the things that people experience after trauma struggle with, because they're now thinking with their rational brain, which has gone offline in this moment.